We're doing a brand new series, a four-week series entitled Big Deal. And as you know, as a church, we always have, once a year, we have a series on money. And money is an important topic. And it's a big deal. There's things that are not a big deal to men, and there's things that are not a big deal to women. But when it comes, there's not, things that are not big deal to old and young and in between. But when it comes to money, it's a big deal for everybody. And we want to just again reemphasize this. You're about to enter the busiest day of your year, okay? The busiest days of your year. About to go and jump into a car and shop and do all of these things. And we want to give you what the Bible says about this very important topic. And there's a reason why we do this. The reason why we do this is because Jesus said more about money in all his teachings than heaven or hell. Think about this. More than anything that Jesus has taught, he's talked about money more than anything. There are more verses in the Bible about money and possessions than any other topic there is, except God. Secondly, the reason why we talked about this is because two-thirds of the parables that Jesus taught are about money and possessions. Two-thirds. Not even half. Overwhelmingly, this is an important topic. And that's why every year, at this time of the year, just before you get your bonuses, just before you go wild and shopping again, just before you get in debt again. I was talking at our Alabang church last Friday, I believe, on Christmas. And I was talking about if an alien came to the earth and tried to observe what Christmas is, his conclusion would be a big fat man with a white beard. It would be about food. It would be about shopping. And finally, somewhere at the end of Christmas, it'd be about people in debt. And my hope is you don't go there, that we have a good perspective on what God has intended for us as far as money is concerned. And finally, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And Jesus said you can't serve both God and money. And that's where the toss-off is going to be, folks. It's always going to be this debate, this argument, this wrestling between what is more important, God or money. I love the series. Because when they had told me that the verses they've chosen is from the book of Deuteronomy, I thought, that's interesting. The book of Deuteronomy is an interesting book. And let me frame this for you theologically while it is. The book of Genesis is filled with amazing stories. Great book. Actually, one of the books I love to read and keep reading is the book of Genesis. It's just riddled with all the startup stuff. The boldness, the bravery, the faith of Abraham, Adam and Eve, the beginnings of the world, creation, etc., 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 Joseph, Isaac, Jacob. Wonderful book. You get to Exodus, and it's about action and curses and blessings and miracles and plagues and God coming through delivering his kids. And then you get to Leviticus, or your Numbers, Leviticus and Numbers, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, Numbers, and then because this very set of boring books. I don't know if you try to read your Bible every year, then after Exodus, it goes downhill from there. And that's why I want to teach about Deuteronomy, because it's a good book. And there's a reason why it's boring. There is. The word Deuteronomy actually means the second reading of the law. They're reading the law for a second time. They're reviewing the entirety of everything that God has done from Genesis all the way to Exodus, when God judges Egypt, takes them out, and redeems them. And now they're parked in this giant plains of Moab. It's almost like a parking lot moment. It's a pit stop just before they enter the promised land in Jericho. They're about to face their biggest war ever, and they're parked here, and Moses is rereading the second time the laws of God. He's saying this is important. Just before you enter in and get your big bonus, just before you enter in and spend all the gold that you got with you from Egypt, just before you get in there, you need to understand some things about how to live. And as the old generation departs and this new generation comes up, you need to understand some things. We pick up our lesson today from Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1. When the Lord your God brings you into that land, he's talking about why you need to hear this, why we've got to go slow. Everybody say, slow is fast. One of my favorite Joey-isms. I love saying that because I keep telling people, don't be in a hurry, because the slower you go, the faster things get. You'll understand that in about 3 years of once you get the hang of it. When the Lord will bring you into the land, the promised land, that I was talking about, that you are entering to take possession of it. They're about to come in. They're about to get this whole thing, and Moses is giving them a review class. Here's what you need to understand as you enter into the promised land. The biggest promise that God has ever given you, the best of the best of the best of the land. I drove from Dubai to Ras Al Khaimah. It's about a 45, one-hour drive, and all you see is desert and camels. Now, if you've ever been to Dubai, Dubai is a mesmerizing, fascinating place. I don't know how many times I've been there, but every time I go, there's a change in the city. And when you start driving out of Dubai, it's just mesmerizing. It's just huge. It's the tallest building in the world is there now. And they've got islands that were not there before. And when you drive out, it's all desert. Imagine all you see is brown desert. And yet, that was part of the promised land of God. And God knew thousands of years ago, 5,000-6,000 years ago, God knew that there was all this massive amount of oil underneath that place. Literally, gazillions of dollars underneath there. God knew it. And he was telling these guys, this is the greatest bonus you're ever going to have for the rest of your life and for your descendants after you. And I need you to understand what this is about. And Moses begins to unveil God's heart. And that's the first thing you need to understand about money, is God wants you to have it. Turn to your neighbor and say, God wants you to have it. Some of you are not sure. He does. That's his heart for you. If you're not getting it, there's something wrong, and we probably have to understand what his heart is so that we can understand how to get it. I believe that God wants to prosper us. You, me, everybody. Everybody who serves him. Now, that's not his primary goal. He wants to make sure that you're well fed, that you're well taken care of, your descendants are taken care of. That's not the point. The point is that you get his heart. Because if you get his heart, then you're not going to overspend the money. You're probably going to use it wisely. You'll probably save it. You'll probably invest it correctly. And you're not going to do it out of greed. And you'll probably have all the money that you're going to need for the rest of your life. Now, not all of it, but at least you won't have a shortage of it. What is God's heart? Moses begins to speak about it in verse 6. You are a holy people. God's heart for you is he wants to set you apart. That doesn't mean just holy as in do-gooders. That means to be set apart, to be distinct, to be different. That when people see you, there's something massively different about you. The way you behave, the way you run your office, the way you run your company, the way you run your family, the way you run your health, the way you run your finances. There's something holy. There's something set apart. You don't live like the rest of the world. The world was, God was about to use Israel to judge the world at this time and season because of all the sins of the world. The pattern of the world has just gone haywire, and God was about to bring judgment on them. And he says, before you step into the promised land, hear my heart. I want you to be a holy people. I want you to know that you are chosen, specifically chosen. You need to look at that. If you look at your mirror and you feel like, I don't feel like I'm chosen, I want you to hear, listen, don't base your life on what you see and how you feel and your past experiences or if people have rejected you. Base your life on the Word of God. If God says he has chosen you, he has chosen you, period. A lot of people don't like me and put my posts on Facebook. Somebody on Facebook just keeps, not like. That's okay. God likes you. Don't worry about that. Don't let your experiences and the people around you do the things that are not going to work for you. Trust his word. God says you are a holy people. You're special. And you're not just special. He's chosen you. He's picked you out. Among all the peoples of the earth, he's picked out these Israelites, these Jews. And he's saying that to us who are now the modern New Testament version of these Jews. And out of all the peoples of the face of the earth, can you imagine that? All the peoples on the face of the earth, and he chose these people as his treasured. You're not just special. I didn't just choose you. I'm treasuring you. You're important to me. I'm going to provide for you. The first step, everybody listen to this, the first step in learning how to have a breakthrough with finances is to understand that this is important, that you are special, you're valuable, you're treasured by God. Because if you think that God's mad at you and you have to work for this, you're always going to be in lack, always. But if you realize deep down in your soul, you behave differently. I'm special. I'm holy. I've been set apart. I've been chosen no less than by God himself, and I'm treasured and valued. That's the starting point, folks. It's not hyper faith, it's understanding his word. Now, he goes on and says, now, the Lord did not set his affection in you. Now, listen, you're special, you're valuable, you're all of that, but let's understand this. He did not do this because of you. Not because you were the most numerous, not because you were the smartest, not because you were the guys that worked the hardest, not because you were, no, none of that. It's got nothing to do with you. It all has to do about his love for you. You actually are not the most numerous, but you're the fewest of people. So in essence, what he's saying is, what Moses is revealing to them, and this is the confusing part to you as a Christian or as a, sometimes when you deal with your children, you say you're special and all these things, but you also say the only reason why you're that is because I'm really your son. Yes. It's not because of anything you've done. It's not because of anything you do. It's not because of anything you created. It's not because of everything you earned. I only chose you out of my love for you. He further says that. It wasn't because you're the greatest and the most fulfilling and the nicest or even the handsomest or the cutest or the richest, but it's because the Lord loved you. That's his heart. Purely because he loved you. This is good theology, folks. The reason why he's going to bless you, the reason why he's going to provide for you, the reason why your needs are going to be met is because he's chosen you. He set you apart. He's valued you. You're a treasured possession. Make that clear and simple. And every time you feel a drought in your spirit, every time you feel like you're not special, every time you feel like you're worn out, I'm telling you right now, go back to God and go review this verse. You're a treasured possession. That's not God. That's the devil, amen? Or maybe some of your past experiences that make you think that way. God wants you to know you're a special possession to him. The Lord your God, first of all, because he loved you, and secondly, he says, because he kept his oath. I love this verse. The promise that he will forever keep his oath, regardless of what I see right now, regardless of how bad things may be, I know God's going to keep his oath. My wife and I gave a testimony about the best Christmas lesson we've ever learned at the Alabang Church. It was the year that we lost everything. And interestingly, my other son, my second son, David, wrote a blog about it and said that that was the best lesson that he had ever learned in his life. And my two other sons, when we talk about Christmas, we all reference Christmas back to that year when we lost everything. And the lesson we learned was that God loves us. My wife had this brilliant idea. I should preach this at Christmas for our Christmas series. But let me tell you what my wife did. It's a side story, interesting story. She sent the maids away, and she said, we're going to have our Advent, but today we're going to do something different. We're going to walk around the village, and we're going to feel what Mary and Joseph felt like. And so we were walking around our little village in Santa Ana and trying to, and smelling the fried chicken and some of the fried fish and some of the different things of the neighbors, and we're walking around there, and it was good. And then Marie said, you know how Mary and Joseph must have felt because they couldn't get in the house and there was no food, and that's like us. And so finally, we all knew, you know how big a circle is. So you know at some point this thing's going to end because it's getting boring. And so finally, we make the circle, and the kids get to the house, and they're trying to open the door, and the door was locked. So, oh no, the girls are gone, and our help's not here, and we're not going to open the door. And listen, and what we didn't realize was Maria had set this up. And so we were sitting in the curb, now with mosquitoes eating us up, and worried if we're going to get, what time these guys are going to get home. And so it was getting boring, and at one point I started to self-pity. Of course, I didn't show that to my children, but I started to self-pity and think like, God, why did you allow this to happen to my family, blah, blah, blah. My kids felt like this was a moment for them. And then after a few more lessons, I think it was David or Josh who said, why is it that every time you say something, Mom, it's a lesson? And finally, she picks out the key and said, actually, I have the key. And so we go in. But the reason why I'm telling you this story is because all of us reference that moment that changed our life, that God came through, that His presence became more important to us than the gifts. I love David's blog. I wish I had it now. He said, gone were the gifts, gone were the cars, gone were the packages, but we had the presence of God. It was amazing. And we didn't even plan this. I mean, when we talk about this now, it's just the five of us will sit down and you know what? That's true. Because we understood that something was more valuable than money. See, God has no problem about giving you money. But do you get it? Do you get His heart? That He loves you. He's valuable. He values you. And He's going to keep His oath. And when you understand that, regardless of how bad this year or the other year or the past few years have been, God is faithful to keep His oath. Some of you have been using, you know, Steve Jobs didn't even let his kids use the iPad. The inventor of the iPad did not let his kids use the iPad. Do you understand that? Because he knew that some of those things are not healthy for you. Makes you very impatient. You think that everything is a click of your thumb. Doesn't work that way, folks. Life's not virtual. Life requires patience and faith. And believing that what God says is going to happen. He swore to your forefathers. Now, and not only that, He redeemed you from the land of slavery. And that's, God wants to, what was the land of slavery for the Jews? It wasn't just they were getting beaten up. They were living in dire poverty. God wants to save our nation from poverty. Hello? I'm serious. God does. And the starting point is for you to understand God's heart and put your faith in it and believe that God's coming through for me. And He says, I redeemed you from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And you saw that. The end of that ordeal, or not ordeal, but that deliverance, ordeal for the Egyptians, deliverance for the Jews. The end of that was they were told, just go to your neighbor and ask for their gold. And the neighbors were giving them even their gold teeth. Speaking of dentists. And they're packing up all of these things and they're now parked here with all this gold, all this wealth, all this riches, entering the most prized possession they're about to have. And God's reviewing and saying, listen, here's my heart for you. Here's what I've done for you. I didn't do this just because you were the greatest, the smartest. I did this to express what my love looks like on the earth. The trashiest of people, the slaves, the ugliest, the stinkiest. I don't know what it is about God that always does that. That Christmas did not happen in the palace, it happened in the barn, in a stable. There's something about God that wants to send that message. I guess part of it, or a big measure of it, is because He's glorified. When He sees people who are grateful, when He sees people who didn't really have it all together and yet He comes through and says, I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to prove to you who I am. I'm going to show you how valuable you are and how much I love you. Now further, in verse 9, know therefore, that's an important word, that word know is yada, and therefore, in other words, if you understand my heart, then you need to have a revelation and you need to know, therefore, that the Lord your God is God. And he's a faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands. He says he's a faithful God. He's not just swearing to you. He's faithful to complete it, and he will keep that covenant of love with you. It's not just a covenant of rules, not just a covenant of a contract. It's a covenant of love. I love you. I'll take care of you, Joey. When you get stressed and say, Lord, I'm 57, turning 58. How do I retire? No. I love you, Joey. Just stop thinking about that, thinking about how much I love you. Oh, Lord, well, what am I going to do? My son's about to do that. No. I love you. I'll be with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. The context of that verse is about money. You know what he said? Do not love money. Because I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I love you. That's the beginning premise, folks. I know this is hard. The tendency of every Pinoy is work, work, work. And there's nothing wrong with work. Start here first. Do the work out of love and you're going to work hard. Amen? I took care of my grandson. My wife and I took care of my grandson. Yes, that's free babysitting. That was done out of love. And we did it well. You do your best work when you're in love. But here's what happens to us. We strive, we do everything, we try harder, and when it's not enough, we try even harder, and it's not enough, we strive even harder, and then we spend it all just to assuage all our loss of energy and all our tiredness. But he says, I'm a faithful. No, yada. Get a revelation. Get intimate with the understanding that I'm a faithful God and I'm a covenant-keeping God and I'll keep my promise to you. It may take a while. I may be adjusting some things in you. I may be fixing your heart, but trust my word. Don't trust your experience. Don't trust the bad things that happened to you. Trust my word. And I'm going to do this to 1,000 generations of those who love me. Interestingly, when you read Deuteronomy, a lot of people don't like it. It's boring. You read it. It's all about love. It's a fascinating book, isn't it? I love you. Guys, when you get in there, you're going to come in with my power. You're going to annihilate all your enemies. You're going to inherit all the land. But realize this is all happening simply because I love you. And it will happen to those who love me and keep my commands. Now, that's God's heart. And it's only right that if that was God's heart, that we have a proper response to that. And the right response we find in verse 11 of the same chapter. Therefore, in other words, if you understand, God loves me. God set me aside. God's made me holy. God values me. I'm treasured, even though I'm nuts. Even though I don't deserve it, even though I'm probably the sloppiest of them all, even though I'm sometimes lazy, try to work hard, but even though with all my imperfections, God says, I love you. Therefore, because I know that, that's what he's saying. When you see the word therefore, that is therefore, the previous reason. The previous reason is because God's like that. Therefore, take care to follow. Be careful to follow. If you really love him, Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. The mark of your love. Here's where we miss it sometimes. We think that if God loves you, why does he want me to follow? Because that's a signal to you that you trust and love him, that you would do his commands. Because if you don't do what he commands, then that is the proof that you don't trust him and you don't love him. That if you really, really loved him, then you would obey his commands. And if you really trusted him, then you'd say, God, obviously, I'll do everything you say. Now, notice what he says here. There's a difference between a command, a decree, and a law. Moses, the Bible doesn't tell us these three words distinctly. just for the sake of re-emphasizing something, these three things are actually different. A command is something specific to you. There are certain commands that God has given me that he probably has not given you. Hello? There are certain things I do that I do because of the God's calling in my life. There are certain things I don't eat. There are certain things I don't go to that you probably need to go to because God's commanded you to go there. There are certain Christians who are called to be soldiers, and they're called to shoot bad people. And God's called them and commanded them to do that. Hello, he didn't command me to do that. He commanded me to preach his word. Are you following? When I obey God's command for specifically for my life, and I'm careful to listen to God, God has specific commands to me how to raise my children. And there are specific children that he's commanded me to reach and take care of. And they're not yours, amen? He's commanded you to take care of yours. There's a specific, there's something specific when it comes to a command. A decree is something else. A decree is actually a legal term that encompasses a shorter thing or to a lesser degree, a group of people that applies to those people in a kingdom. Got it? A law is something that's universal. Gravity is a law. The law of sin and death, that applies to every single person on this earth. Decrees may apply to a certain church, a certain group of people, a certain age. A command is something that applies to you specifically. A law involves all of us. The Ten Commandments were not just Ten Commandments. They were the laws of God. They apply to everybody. You commit murder, you die. And so he says, be careful. Because you know that I love you, because you know that my heart is to bless you, because that you know that I value you, that you're my prized possession, because you know that I plan to bless you, because you know that you know that you know that I have a covenant of love for you, be careful to follow my decrees, my commands. There's a verse that mirrors this in the book of Genesis, where God is speaking to Abraham and he says the exact same thing. Abraham, obey my commands, my decrees, and my laws. What separates Abraham as a man of faith is not just because he believed everything that God said, but he was careful to obey and follow God's decrees, commands, and laws. That's what it means to be careful to follow God. God, what's your command for this season of my life? Some of you, it might be God's commanding you to save. And maybe you're looking at your brother or your sister or your churchmate or your seatmate at church and he's spending all the money in the world. And that God did not command him to do that. One of my friends who's a believer called me up and said, hey, Joey, do you want to take a drive? I said, sure. And he picked me up here and when he drove in, he said, I've got a new car. I didn't realize it was an 11 million peso car. So when I got in the car, I thought God commanded him. He didn't command me, amen? So I shouldn't be envy about my friend. By the time he dropped me off at the parking lot and I looked at my Escape, I thought, different car, amen? Are you here? If you understand that there are certain commands that God gives certain people that he doesn't give me, then I don't have to envy my friend. I'm actually rejoicing for him. He was telling me how he hit a bump in the street and kind of dented the wheel there, and it was 60,000 pesos to replace it. I said, I'm glad God never commanded me to do that. I don't have the faith for it. Are you here? When we understand that there are certain things that God requires of me that he doesn't require of you, be careful. What is it that God's told you? Still here. See, what happens to us is we're inundated with advertising and we think we're all going to have the same thing. We're not. We are not. Hello? But we all have to be careful to follow his commands, his decrees, and his laws. Now, he goes on, if you pay attention. Now, listen, notice, this is the only thing he's asking from you and me. You say, I'm a treasured possession. I love you. You're valuable. I'll bless you. I'll give you everything you need. You're going to have a great life. Your grandson will smell your dog, and your dog will smell your grand. That's your command. That's a blessing. That made my day. Don't need an $11 million car to be blessed. That's not my command. Are you here? If you pay attention to these laws and are careful to follow them, the Lord your God will just keep his. There it is again, that covenant of love, if you're careful. If you pay attention and are careful to follow them, the Lord your God will keep his covenant of love with you. Careful. Pay attention. Carefully follow. Lord, what is it that you want me to do? And he says, he will keep his covenant of love with you. That simple. Not asking for anything else other than that. And the result, he says, is this. If you do this, those are the terms. This is his heart. Here's what he wants you to have. He wants you to have that entire promised land. You're entering in there with all the resources and all the power. And he wants you to have that entire thing. That's his heart. Because he values you. Because he loves you. Because he's established a covenant. By the way, the decree is what a covenant is. It's to you and him. It's to a vassal king. There's a decree that the vassal king makes as he enters into a covenant with someone. The result is this, and this is the good part. If we obey, if we follow carefully, his love, notice how, well, don't ever get bored with Deuteronomy ever again. It's my hope, now that you're reading this, he will love you and bless you and increase your numbers, and he will bless the fruit of your womb, the crops of the land, he will bless you. Just carefully follow his decrees, his commandments, and his laws. And if you do that, he will love you and he will bless you. There's a hashtag on Instagram or Twitter that says hashtag blessed. And it's funny what people put in there. I'm so blessed that I have this new mascara. I'm so blessed because it was like, golly, these people have no understanding of what God means to bless you. No wonder we've got a world that's in poverty because they don't understand what it means. He will love you and bless you. How? I'll increase your numbers. I'll bless you. I'll bless the fruit of your womb. Your family. My son Joshua is camping in my house because there's something wrong with his unit. And he's having it fixed. And so I have my daughter-in-law, my two daughters-in-law in my house. And my grandson slept in the house last night with my daughter-in-law because my son is in Ilocos. And it was funny this morning because when Philip woke up, I was chasing him I was coming from behind. And as I was coming from behind, my son and his wife, my second son and his wife were coming out of the kitchen about to meet him. And my wife was running through the hallway trying to get to him. And then after we all got to the living room, my mother comes out. And then after that, I was trying to get dressed to come here, and I was lying down in bed with my wife, and I told her, we are blessed. We are blessed. I started to smile at my wife and said, you know what? I know you so well that I know how you feel right now. My wife's greatest joy is just to see a happy family. And you know what? Sometimes we're so inundated with, you know, I love how David framed it. I forgot how he framed it in his blog. He said, gone were the big boxes. Gone were the cars. Gone was the turkey. Gone was everything. But God was there. And I learned my best lesson. And we replace it for stuff like this. And God's saying, no, just chill. Everybody say chill. Some of you can't wait to get your bonus and spend all of it. This is the year to learn this, folks. This is the year you prosper. I've been preaching this to you for the last 5 years now. I hope this is the year you get your breakthrough. He says, bless the fruit of the womb, the crops of the land. He said, I'm going to bless your crops, not just the fruit of the womb. I'm going to feed those guys. I'll take care of them. Don't worry about it. Not just the crops, your grain, your new wine, your oil, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. And the In other words, not just your family, I will give you everything you need and beyond. I'll take care of you. Just know that I love you. Because I swore that to your forefathers. I promised that to them. You'll be blessed more than any other people. None of your men or women will be childless, nor any of your livestock without you. You will be blessed more than any other people. You're going to be blessed. Stop looking at the other person's gold. When God told the Jews to bring out the gold, I'm sure some guys got a chest full of gold, and some guy got a sack full of gold, and some guy got a box of gold, and some guy got a handful of gold. It doesn't matter. The good news is you have your own. Be happy with it. Be blessed with it. Make the best out of it. If somebody's driving a more expensive car, God bless you, man. Invite me every now and then so I can enjoy it. I don't want to maintain it. I'm not good at it. I'm not even good at driving. If I could just transport myself by just thinking, I would. You will be blessed more than any other people. None of your men and women will be charged, nor any of your livestock or your young. I'm trying to try and end this. The Lord will keep you free from every disease. He will not inflict on you the horrible diseases you knew in Egypt, but He will inflict it on them. Think about the blessing of that. God wants to heal you and deliver you. That's what it means to be blessed. He will not inflict on you horrible diseases that you knew in Egypt. He'll deliver you. As I close, let me pull up to you the book of Proverbs, which says, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth, and He adds no trouble to it. Yes. There are a lot of people that are probably wealthier than you and I. There's a lot of trouble to it. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth, and He adds no trouble to it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, no matter how many promises, no matter how many promises God has made, don't give up. They are yes in Christ. And so through Him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God, not you, who makes both of us stand firm in Christ. It's not trying harder. It's putting my trust in Jesus and what God has done for me. Amen? Do you stand on your feet as we close with a word of prayer? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Could you look up here for a minute? I was sitting right there yesterday in a round table while doing a building banquet here for brunch yesterday morning. And there was a man sitting there who was from our Pioneer Church. And I asked him, how long have you been in church? Well, he said, I started out in the Alabang Church, got discipled there, made disciples there. God moved me here and went to the Pioneer Church. And now I'm a small group leader. And I said, so why are you here? Well, I made a pledge and I just want to fulfill it. He said, Pastor, can I tell you a story? And I said, sure, I love stories. And he said this story. You were here. You were in the other table. And he was recounting this story of how, he said, I'm a computer technician for this company. And our company is not doing well. And so I'm not expecting a bonus. I'm not expecting an increase. I'm not expecting anything. But I've got this pledge. My wife and I have prayed and trusted God. And he said this. One day, our finance officer called me to her office and said, we've never done this in the history of our company. Never. We've never done this because you know our company's losing money, startup, it's not getting where it should be. But for some reason, you're the only person we're giving a bonus this year. And please do not tell anybody we're doing this. Because we're only doing this fact, up to now, we're still thinking why we're doing this, but we're doing this, okay? And we're not just giving you a one-time bonus, we're giving you a monthly bonus. Because you're just an exemplary, hard-working man. And I thought, this guy's a small group leader. He's busy with his job. And he was talking about it, and you know, the whole time I sat there, the guy had a smile from here to here. He was just a happy man. That's what it means to be blessed, amen? It's not always having the fanciest things or eating in the right places. And if you do, God bless you. Invite me every now and then. No, I'm just a joke. I'm just saying, that's not how this works. It's our hearts. Amen? Would you just close your eyes, lift up your hands towards heaven? God, this is the year, once again. Lord, we're believing for a breakthrough financially. Lord, as you change our hearts to know God, that you love us, that you've set us apart, made us holy. God, that you treasure us and you've chosen us. God, let this be the year that we will be careful to follow you, your decrees, your laws, your commands, things that are specific to us, things that are really for a larger community of us, Lord, and things, Lord, that you've called us as men and women on this earth. God, we're trusting and believing that even as we do that, we will receive your love and your blessing today and forevermore and for generations to come. Be blessed, be glorified in the rest of this day and this week. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.